Stuart Peterson is a slow-witted man who has for many years been working for Ruby Obeck on the Obeck place across the road from Chez Nous. With instruction, Stuart can do most things. He's strong and burly, good-natured. On Saturday nights, he goes to the Chopier Tavern. As the beer flows, some of the locals turn to Stuart for sport. He's always good for a laugh, for he takes their teasing literally. Tell us about that lady we seen you with, Stu. One starts. Another builds on it. Yeah, that gussied-up blonde. Cheek-to-cheek with you down at Waverly Beach last night. I never was at Waverly Beach, Stuart protests. I never was dancing with no lady. Ho-ho, cries the first. You admit it. She wasn't no lady. I never been to Waverly Beach, Stuart insists. One winter day, he's working in a snowy cornfield east of the Obeck farm buildings, across from the Dogan fields. The corn stalks have long since been cut, tied into bundles, and the bundles set into large shocks, 15 or 16 to a shock. The shocks make the field look like a village of Indian teepees. Every few days, Stuart looks and then loads all the bundles from one shock onto a wagon and takes them to the animals in the barn. He's whittled away at the field. It's now half empty. He pulls up alongside a shock near the road and pitches the first bundle onto the wagon bed. As he turns back for the second, he sees something and recoils. He looks again carefully. Feet are sticking out from underneath the shock. Feet in worn brown work boots and a bit of leg covered with a ragged cuff. It slowly becomes clear to Stuart that there must be more of that leg and another leg under the shock, and that the body attached to those legs is certainly dead and frozen. He makes a gargling noise, wheels, and scrambles over the fence, through the ditch, and out onto the road, where he flails his arms at an approaching tractor. Gilbert, Grandpa's farm manager, stops. Stuart points. A dead man. A dead man under the corn shock. It takes Gilbert a few moments to digest the unlikely words. And then he says, "You're kidding." Stuart insists. "Come, show me," says Gilbert. But Stuart won't return. He points out the shock and then paces agitatedly while Gilbert scales the fence and starts through the shallow snow into the field. Near the shock and wagon, Gilbert looks back over his shoulder. Stuart urges him on. Gilbert approaches. He too sees the feet. He feels a distinct jolt. He looks again at Stuart and nods affirmation, and Stuart nods vigorously back. Gilbert walks slowly around the shock. The snow is undisturbed. Nothing else is showing. A man lying full length on his stomach, as this one seems to be, since the feet are turned down, would have to have a head. Right about. Gilbert abruptly lifts a bundle and tosses it to one side. Nothing there. He lifts and throws another one and a third, and this last reveals the head, turned sideways, so that he sees an ear, a cheek, the nose. He involuntarily turns away, bile rising in his throat. Then he forces himself to look again. The body has been there for a long time, long enough for the rats and mice to find it. The ear is almost gone, the lower lip eaten away, exposing teeth and gum. It seems to be an older man, thin, with sparse graying hair. Gilbert doesn't think he's ever seen him before. The mottled cheek and brow look dreadful, with the eyelid half open. But there doesn't seem to be much decomposition of the flesh. The body must have been put here after the freezing weather began. Put here, that means murder. Someone had to put him here? Or could he have been drunk? Might he have crawled in here to get out of the weather and died? But his position isn't huddled up. A man trying to keep warm. Well, he could have died by some natural means, and a companion stashed him here, not wanting any problem with authorities. But that's not likely either. Gilbert doesn't remove any more bundles. He strides back to the road. Is Ruby home? He asks Stuart. She's gone to town. We'll call Ron then, he says, and he can call the police. Stuart hurries after Gilbert to the Obeck farm, whimpering all the way. You found what? Daddy bellows over the office phone. A dead man? Gilbert and Stuart scarcely make it back to the road before Ron races up in the Buick. Gilbert heads him to the spot, and he circles from head to foot and back to head, swearing under his breath in French and shaking his head. A poor bastard, he finally says, and then he goes to the Obeck farmhouse to telephone. By the time he returns, cars are streaming up Collie Road from both directions, and half the employees of the Dogan farm are clamoring over the ditch. Go back to work, you ghouls, says Daddy, but nobody pays any attention. It's only a few moments more before the neighbors begin to show up, and a stranger from Walworth County who's just happening by and stops to see what's going on. Each new arrival looks at the face, makes an exclamation of revulsion, and says that as far as he can tell, he doesn't know them. Once it's established that the corpse is a stranger, the mood of the crowd becomes more festive. Almost festive. Comments such as, sort of chewed up, ain't he? Give way to crude jokes. Those on the edge of the group where Stuart has come closer and is circling start to rib him. Hey, Stu, how'd you kill him?
I didn't.
It wasn't me, Stuart protests. Two police cars and an ambulance roar up Collie Road, lights flashing, sirens wailing. The crowd cheers. Daddy again orders all his people back to work, and the farmhands reluctantly disperse. The neighbors and the man from Walworth stay. Everyone falls back to let the officers through. They survey the scene, confer, pull out tape measures. A photographer snaps picture after picture. Out on the road, the ambulance attendants lean against the ambulance, waiting. The policeman in charge questions first Daddy, then Gilbert, then the cowering Stuart. Then they begin stripping back the corn bundles, taking pictures as they go. Are we needed to stay and watch this? Daddy asks the policeman in charge. He says no, and Ron, Gilbert, and Stuart walk back to the road.
I didn't do it, Mr. Dogan, Stuart protests.
I didn't do it. Nobody thinks you did, says Daddy. Take the rest of the day off if you want. Go to a movie. Tell Ruby I said so. Here's a dollar.
But the stock's got to be fed, Stuart wails. And that shock, nothing should eat that shock.
Gilbert will get somebody to load one from the far end of the field and haul it to the barn, Daddy says. In a couple of days when the police are finished, you or somebody can make a bonfire. He then heads for the hill farm to tell Grandpa, glad that his father has been working on fences there and missed the commotion. For a week, the sensation of the stranger under the corn shock dominates township conversations. Who he could be, where he came from, how he'd gotten under there, how long he'd been there. The Beloit Daily News publishes an initial story, then a follow-up, but these are of little help. The man, though clothed, had no identification or money on him, or anything traceable in his pockets. He fits the description of no missing person on file. Forensic experts find no evidence of foul play, no bullet or stab wounds, no strangling, no head bashed in. There's not a liquor bottle anywhere around. The autopsy tells nothing except that he hadn't eaten recently. He was probably under the shock 2 or 3 months. The verdict? A person unknown. Perhaps an itinerant worker. Dying of causes unknown. Perhaps illness or exposure or suicide. On a date unknown. And either crawling under or being placed under. a corn shock in a field adjacent to Collie Road, Turtle Township, Rock County. If placed, it was by a person or persons unknown, and the death would have occurred in a place unknown, but probably near the field where the body was found. The police don't pursue the puzzle any further. Nobody ever learns anything more about the man. Before long, he's forgotten, except by Stuart and a small group of tormentors. "Tell us about the dead man, Stu," someone says at the tavern. Others take up the game. "Why'd you do that to him, huh, Stu? Tell us, why'd you kill him?"
"I never.
I only found him," Stuart insists. "Oh, come on, Stu, confess. We know you done it. Nobody's going to catch you now. You can tell us. Did he steal your girl?" "I never done it," Stuart sobs, and tears roll down his cheeks.